In Mark chapter 10, and we're going to begin in verse 46. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Just give you a second to turn there. Okay, and this is the story of blind Bartimaeus, and a lot of us have been just thinking about him, and a lot of sharing about his heart crying out. And I believe that's just because our hearts are wanting to apprehend the Lord in just a desperate way, in a way that is coming from that place that however much I see or think I see or know, I don't know you the way I want to for your sake, Jesus. And so, Lord, we come to you and we look into the word today, and we do it for your sake, Lord. We're not coming to the scriptures or even to a time of studying together in the word to gain something, or we don't even have the words, Lord. We approach the scriptures like blind Bartimaeus, but really, Lord, we're approaching you with a desperation and a desperation to see you, Lord, not for ourselves, but for your heart, Lord, for you to know you in a way that you need us to know you. And Lord, you hear our heart cries. When your people cried out to you, Old Testament and New, you answered those cries. And we cry out, Lord, in a certain way today, a way that we hope reaches your heart, Lord Jesus, in a way that reaches your heart, Lord Jesus, and causes you to respond to us for your sake. So we come now in the Spirit, Lord, and thank you for giving us the word, and for this day, and in Jericho many thousands of years ago when this thing happened, and yet, Lord, it's speaking to us right now, and it's screaming into our hearts the very thing that this blind man was screaming to you, Jesus. We must see you. We must see you in a way that reaches your ears and your heart. So we come now, Father, in your Son's name and for his sake. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and this is Jesus, and a great number of people were with them, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto Jesus, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee well, made thee whole. Immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Well, we're not trying to look into every verse and every hidden meaning and every spiritual angle, but basically we're just trying to join with Bartimaeus in his heart cry to Jesus. And you can see in the beginning verse, verse 46, that Bartimaeus is sitting as a beggar, sitting by the wayside. He's not on the way, he's not able to really move with the flow. He's just begging. He's just a blind beggar, barely surviving, usually like the beggars would be. But verse 47 says, when he hears that Jesus is coming right down the very street, he's sitting on the corner, on the curb, on the wayside. Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, is fixing to walk in front of him, right on the very road he's begging on that day. And something inside of him heard, oh my Lord, the Son of God in the flesh is going to be in front of me. And I'm not even going to see him. I'm not even going to see him. And he's going to be standing right in front of me. And I'm not going to see him. I mean, how many times have I maybe gone to a church service or a time when the living word was being shared? And I knew the Holy Spirit was going to lift up Jesus in a way that could change my life, could transform me from the inside out by knowing, by seeing, by receiving the light of life, the reality of that living word that could be sown into me. And yet I sat in my church pew on my curb on the wayside, if you will, knowing that Jesus, through the release of the word of God, was going to stand right in front of me. And inside of my heart, I said, Lord, I'm going to be so blind. I won't hear what the Spirit's saying, and I won't see Jesus. I'm going to just let another release of the living word pass right by me. And it's going to sound like a crowd of people walking in front of me. It's going to sound like just another Sunday morning service or just another Bible school class. And I'm going to sit here a beggar without food and without sight on the wayside while Jesus walks right past me. And I will not be changed. And I will not be able to see him. Therefore, I will not be able to follow him and be with him. Lord, I can't let this happen another day. I can't go through another class, another sermon, another gathering, and find myself by the wayside watching the fanfare from a distance and yet not even be able to watch, just barely listen. Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that again. I can't stay in this condition. I can't be there but not enter in. Something has to change. Something has to change. And blind Bartimaeus, I believe that's part of what was going on in his heart. He's just like, something has to change. This time can't be like the other times. I must see Jesus, and I must get up and follow him. And so he starts crying out when he hears it's Jesus. Son of David, verse 47, have mercy on me. And he's loud, and he's desperate, and he's, you know, uncomfortably loud. He's annoyingly loud. He's making everyone else feel funny. It's a disturbance in the service, if you will, in the daily routine of this gathering. And yet people begin to say, hold your peace. But every time they do that, he's like, if I stop crying out from my blindness to see him in a real way, then I may remain a beggar the rest of my life, and Jesus is going to pass me by, and he's going to be way down the road, and I won't be able to grope my way in the darkness to find him. The crowd will trample me. He'll be so far down the road by the time I grab a hold of people blindly trying to, you know, find my way in blindness. I'll never reach him. This is my one chance. This is the moment that I was born for. This is the day of opportunity. Right now is my time to lay hold of Jesus, not the word, not the sermon, not the event of the day, but to lay hold of Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, to reach his heart, to see him and follow him now. Never ever have to be separate because of my blindness. So he cries louder. He's like, no way, y'all aren't going to spoil and steal away my opportunity to get with the Son of God. You are just men. You are just men. This is just a day. This is just a temporal event. But I'm crying out for eternal oneness. I'm crying out of the desperation of blindness that will keep me forever far from him to the oneness he could bring me into if I just cry out and my cries reach his heart. So he will not be stilled. He will not be calmed. But verse 48, and many then begin to charge him, hold your peace. Hold your peace, he keeps crying, Son of David. Well, verse 49, Jesus stands still. He stands still, stops walking, stops everything, and commands that blind man to be called. And so they call him, and they say, be of good comfort, rise. Jesus is calling for you. Jesus stopped everything and called for this blind man to come to him. Well, verse 50 shows the state of heart that Bartimaeus is in. He just throws away his garment. He just casts it away. I think that's important. He is not trying to come clothed with anything from his blind condition. He's like, listen, whatever I had, whatever covered me, whatever I was, whatever I could take with me to Jesus, that's part of the old, that's part of the blindness and the old path of begging. I just want to be naked and broken and emptied and hungry and not full and not covered, but just, Lord, open me up and make me whole. Fill me up and help me see. Lord, I want you now. You redefine me inside and out. You fuel me. You refill me. You reformat me. Take me in, Lord. And he's communicating it to God's heart with his response. He's doing it in his being, not just his words. Cast his garment away. He comes. He rises up. He comes. Jesus said, what will that I should do unto thee? Jesus is ready to move according to his faith, according to his heart. What do you know what? What is it that your heart is crying out so desperately for? You know, I think if the blind Bartimaeus had said, I just need money. I just need a house to live in. I just need a job. I think Jesus would have granted that request just based on the zeal, the heart condition of getting after it on that level. But no, he wants to see Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. And so Jesus, you know, says, I'm going to give you your sight. Go your way. Go your way. Your faith has made thee well. Immediately Bartimaeus receives his sight. But the key here and the clue here that he didn't receive the healing just so he could personally see, whereas he could not before, but that he was crying out to see Jesus, is the fact that Jesus tells him in verse 52 in the beginning to go his way, go thy way. And as soon as blind Bartimaeus is given sight, he follows Jesus on the way. He didn't go his own way. He saw Jesus and started to pick up from beggarly life on the sidelines and follow him as a disciple. But more importantly, now that we've been crucified with Jesus, raised up into him as his body, we follow him in oneness. We follow him by seeing Jesus and being filled with his life, the light of life that goes into the darkness of not just our eyes, but our inward being, and fills us with a new nature, fills us with the life of Jesus. The Jesus we see becomes the Jesus who lives in us. The Jesus we follow becomes the Jesus who motivates us from the inside. And our walk is changed. We don't beg anymore and sit there wondering what's going on in blindness. We are full of his spirit, his life, his nature. He is the lamp within us. The Lamb himself becomes the lamp, just as it speaks of in Revelation chapter 21. Concerning the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. We have him now. But how? How does this person that is full of Jesus, this wife of the Lamb, that as the Lamb is her lamp and light, there's no need for sun nor moon, because Jesus is so big inside of this bride, and as we see in the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, how does someone get to that relationship with Jesus? You know, I don't know. We have to ask the Lord and search the scriptures, but maybe Bartimaeus is a piece of that puzzle, that a heart willing to say, I am so blind and I am so poor and I am so stuck in this rut of sitting on the sideline and not really seeing your heart in a way that gets me up and fills me. And Lord, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed. I don't need to look spiritual. I don't need people to think I'm not crazy right now. I don't need people to think I can see when really I'm blind. I just need your heart to hear my heart cry to you that I want to see you, Jesus, in a real way that will change me and lift me up out of my darkness and my poverty, my spiritual poverty, and get me with you in a living union that will fill me with life and light and a new walk and a new way. So the beginning of that is just to cry out from blindness and not be stilled, not be discouraged in the sense of just saying, hey, just stay there, just stay blind, just stay peaceable and calm, and everyone will kind of feel comfortable and you won't cause a ruckus, and, you know, just be religious. Instead of, I am on this planet for you, and I will not be quiet. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And then we move over to the Gospel of Luke, and we go to chapter 19, and we find another guy, Zacchaeus. Similar kind of thing. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, we have the story of Zacchaeus, another guy just hanging out when Jesus is passing through town. Another guy who, you know what, has no right to stop anything, no right to be anyone. He's just a tax collector. The guy is a chief among the tax collectors. He's rich. He's not the type of guy that is going to really appeal to Jesus, if you will. Of course, that's not true, because we see in these verses he does. But there's a heart in this guy, and it is a heart for Jesus that affects Jesus deeply. And I know that we've shared even recently, several years back in Ireland, Pastor Randy shared incredibly powerful sharing on this. And of course, I listened to that. It should be on the website for those who'd like to soak in that precious release. But we're just going to gaze upon these verses briefly today. But here we've got another guy, and he's desperate. And here's the deal. Let's look at chapter 19 in verse 1. And again, we're in Jericho. So it's actually Jericho again, same location as with Bartimaeus. In verse 2 says, behold, there was a man, his name is Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the tax collectors, and he was rich. So, hey, this guy is rich, and he's the top dude of all the tax collectors in Jericho. Exactly what someone who is not interested in Jesus would be doing, you know. He's a tax collector and he's a rich. What need do I have for this guy, Jesus? What need do I have for this guy? Or we can say, listen, there's so many things in me. Like, I'm a tax collector and I'm the chief among them. I have issues that are not Christ-formed in me issues. I take account of everybody's lack. I charge them. I will not forgive them. I lay them accountable for every little injustice and every little discrepancy that makes my flesh irritated. Everything that I think isn't right, I hold people accountable and I demand payment. And Jesus says, you know, forgive your enemies, love them, bless those who curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you. Don't run up to them and demand they pay their taxes. Pay their taxes for them and then invite them over to dinner and then pray for them and then bless them on the way out. And if it's cold, give them your favorite jacket. But this guy's the chief among the tax collectors, and he's, dude, I'm aware of debt. I'm aware of issues, and I'm going to come and collect. And I'm really good at it. I'm the chief. And I'm rich. I have profited from being this way. Man, you know, you might go, I am a mess. I am full of stuff that is not Jesus living in me and is very contrary to his heart and the way he is. But that is not going to stop me from seeking Jesus. That is not going to stop me from seeking him. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. This guy that is so contrary to Jesus, or what Christians would say should come to church and all that fun, this guy is seeking Jesus. He wants to see him like Bartimaeus, but not just see him in general. He wants to see who Jesus is. He wants to know Jesus for who he is. That's a rare heart. That's a treasure for the Lord. Someone who wants to know him, not for what he can do for them, but for who he is. Wow. Even if it's a big old tax collector who's rich from everyone else, God looks past where we are right now into the heart of what we want to be. Well, not even of what we want to be, into the heart that would love him and want to know him. Jesus will take care of the rest. So he seeks him, who he was. He could not because of the crowd. Because this guy, I guess, Zacchaeus is little. He's short. he's short. He can't see him. Bartimaeus is blind. Bartimaeus was blind. Verse 4. So he runs. And I just got a visual of that. He's starting to run. How many people can't see when you know the Lord's fixing to be released? God's speaking to you from the pulpit or a person or in the spirit, in the word, whoever, wherever, however, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you. And it isn't just general. It's the living God is reaching out. He's going to pass in front of you. He's going to move in your direction. He's going to minister to you. And who among us starts running? I can't hear you. I can't see you. What are you saying to me? What is it that you're trying to do today, Lord? And just stops everything and runs. I will not miss the move of God today. I will not, because I'm short and a tax collector and I've got problems and I'm rich and I should be giving my money to the poor, but I'm hoarding it up for myself and et cetera. I want to see Jesus. I want to know him for who he is. He's fixing to pass me by, move in my direction, and I'm going to miss it because I'm little. He starts running. Some of us go, I guess today wasn't my day. If the Lord wanted me to hear what he was saying and lay hold of him today, he would have made me taller. He probably is making it difficult for me to get close to him because of all my sins with tax collecting. And I'm short, he knows it's difficult for me to see, so he couldn't expect me to see. The crowd is huge. I can't even get past it. How does he expect me to get close to him? None of that going on in Zacchaeus. No excuses, only answers. I will run. He runs. He's not saying any of that stuff. He's set. And then he can't see, so he finds a way. I'm going to climb into a tree. Because he just starts climbing. You know what? There is always a way if you're in love with Jesus. There is always a way to lay hold of his heart. He will never make it so impossible that you cannot be with him. It's only our excuses. It's only our excuses. It is. There is a way if you are blind and a beggar with no money and no way to get to him. If you are short and full of problems, your tax collector who's short can't see. You can run. You can climb a tree. You can cry out, not shut up. You can become a distraction to everyone but the heart of Jesus. You can do whatever it takes to lay a hold of that man, Jesus Christ, and what he's trying to do today. Oh, I couldn't. My schedule was busy. I had issues. My heart was hard. My eyes were blind. My legs were short. I was a beggar. Couldn't. All of that is like not going to stand on the day when we look in his beautiful, beautiful eyes that died for us and say, I couldn't, get past that big crowd in my mind or on the earth or in my schedule to get to you, Jesus. Run. Run. Climb the tree. Shout, and don't shut up. Keep shouting to my heart. Don't worry what people think. You're not shouting to them. You're shouting to Jesus, and he will hear. Well, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come on down today. I must abide at your house. Jesus stops it all again, looks up, and says, I must abide at your house today. Well, you know what? How beautiful is the way the Lord responds. He responds in like heart. He responds at the same level of urgency and intimacy that Zacchaeus approached him. The same level that Zacchaeus came to Jesus is the same level that Jesus came back to him. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And that's a scripture in James. But here we are in the Gospels, and we're seeing it in action. He had an urgency. He had a passion. Today, I have to lay hold of Jesus. Jesus said, today, I must abide in your house. You know what? If you're that serious, I am too. He responds, be it unto us according to our faith. According to our faith. And you know, he did. He made haste and he received Jesus joyfully. Verse 8 says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it to him fourfold. He immediately, upon intimate contact with the living God, even those issues of being a chief tax collector melted to water. It just, oh, Lord, in your presence, I don't want to hold people accountable for their sins and be this person who doesn't forgive, but has a critical spirit and holds people in debt and just is a judger. instead of a lover, a blesser, a giver. Just 2 minutes in the presence of Jesus and half his money's gone to the poor. Lord, I got to fix all my problems before I can seek you. No, just be with the living God. 2 seconds in his presence, his life will overcome all those problems that kept you two apart. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the thing that makes everything change. Our part is just to get to him. Our part is to not let him pass us by. Our part is to lay hold of eternal life and bring him into our house and become the place where his eyes, his light, and his life can abide forevermore. So Lord, we do. We hear that it's not just you walking down the street or preaching the sermon or doing what you do, but it's us responding from our hearts in a way that we lay hold of you. Lord, we have a part in this. We can't make blind eyes see. We can't fill empty vessels with life, but we can cry out to the heart of Jesus and communicate our desire for him. You said, be it unto you according to your faith, Lord. We want you, Lord, for you. We want to be filled up to the brim and overflowing. Not so that we're full, but that so you have a place in us to live. Lord, it's all about you. So we stir up our faith today, and we let the Spirit of God and the Word of the Lord stir up our most holy faith to seek Jesus in a living way, in a deeper way, in a way that will reach his heart. So deal with us, Lord. Holy Spirit, stir us up, and we stir up ourselves like David did to love him, to seek him, and to lay hold of him. And so we pray these things, not in our own name and not for our own sakes, but in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.